Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost. And I love Him. I love His ways. I love His will. I love His word. I love His people. And I love to see people continue in the sincere, innocent love of God. One thing Jesus said continually to the churches of Laodicea, He said to keep your first love. Very important. Without love, nothing really works. Without love, nothing works. Faith works by love, folks. The devils believe and tremble, but faith works by our love to God. And like I said last week, when you ask the Lord for wisdom, when you ask the Lord for counsel, knowledge, when you ask Him for wisdom and understanding, you're honoring God. And it's very important to do so. The Lord put Jeremiah 8 on my heart, and we're going to look at it. Now, this is verse 1 in Jeremiah chapter 8. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served and after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for waste upon the earth, for dung upon the earth, upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remaineth in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't that amazing? The thing is, these people, the kings of Judah, the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of the princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Their bones were taken up because they chose to be unrighteous. They said they honored God, but they didn't. They loved other things instead. And see, when people get buried, people, you know, they feel sorry for them and they say the best thing they can remember about them. This has been going on for a very long time. And they died and they were considered honorable. But now, here in Jeremiah's day, in the days of Josiah, that's when it happened. And it was prophesied a long time before that. That was a prophet sent to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, warning. And the Lord told him not to eat there and don't go back the way he came. But another prophet came and got him to go back and eat something in that city, in that land. And then as he left, because he disobeyed God, a lion killed him but didn't eat his body. And then that prophet had him buried. Told his sons, when I die, bury me next to him. So when Josiah was digging up the bones of these wicked kings and the wicked prophets and the wicked priests, and when he dug up their wicked bones, he fulfilled this scripture here. See, God wants people that will honor him, and God wants it known when people honor him, he honors them. When people dishonor him, he's going to make sure that people know that they are dishonoring him. And when, you know, when the rapture happens, it said the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, everybody that got a Christian burial, if they were unrighteous, their bones are going to stay in their casket and in their grave. But everybody that was truly righteous, they would get up alive, just like Jesus. See, as he is, so are we in this world. If Jesus got up, you believe on Jesus, you live the life of Jesus, you conduct yourself according to the word of God. When you die and Jesus come back, the dead in Christ rise, the real people of God will rise up. And then the quick, they're the living. They're going to be gathered together to meet Jesus in the cloud. And they'll forever be with the Lord. But those that were misrepresenting God will be wherever they are. They will be left here. There's a part, let's look at it. The parable of the virgins. And see, sometimes people don't, they read over things. They read around things. Because they don't want to offend anybody. When people go to hell, they are offended. When they know that their life is over and they can't get it back, they are offended. And it's very important to understand. Let's look at the parable of the virgins. I've been referring to it for the last 2 weeks. This is Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, this was Jewish culture, the way they had conducted weddings. And people that know Jewish weddings, this means more to them. But we can look at it for what it is. Verse 2 says, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Curious. They took their lamps. Lamps need oil. They didn't take any oil. Being half-hearted won't work. If you love God, if you love Jesus, take time and get to know your Savior. Because Satan don't want you to do that. He wants to turn you back to the world. A friend of mine said, now, Thurston, now that you're a Christian, Satan's going to try to get you back. He said, things are going to go wrong. People are going to steal from you. Women are going to flirt with you. Satan's going to try to aggravate you. Turn you back to the world. But don't fall for it. And when it happened, I was able to laugh about it because I remembered that statement. Happened just like clockwork. Just like he said. All of it. And I cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed me what to do in every case. But I knew that it was the enemy because I had fair warning. All right, so they that were foolish took their lamps and no oil with them. Half-hearted people do half-hearted things. Half-hearted preachers preach like they're half-hearted. Half-hearted people find half-hearted preachers. And they have a desire for them because they really don't want God in their thinking. But they want the blessings of God without the life of God. You can't have both. You got to have it all works together. The life of God, the blessings chase the life of God. So when you teach people to chase the blessings and they're not chasing the life of God, they're not going to get the blessings either. Their life will be incomplete. And because God loves everybody, he reigns upon the just and the unjust. So you can't go by the stuff you attain in life. That don't mean anything. The reason you get stuff anyway is because God is good. But if all you want is the fish and the loaves, the stuff, the cars and the houses, you can get that, but without the life of God, you can't keep it. See, the Proverbs talk about durable riches. Durable riches is when you get it the right way because you love God. You work as under God. You earn what you get, and God, you know, people that earn what they get, they appreciate it. That if you, I've given away cars. If you give a person a car and they didn't work for it, when that car breaks down, they'll leave it on the side of the road, or they'll tow it back to you, or whoever gave it to them. They don't act like it's their car when they tear up. But when a person worked for a car, I've seen this too many times. Not only will they get it fixed, They'll pay whatever it takes to get it fixed. And as a shop owner, if you didn't get money up front, some people would leave the car there. But if they left money down to get half of it down to get it fixed, they'll come back and get it when it's finished. And I had 100% success when I learned how people are. See, when you work for it with your blood, sweat, and tears, you will pay for it. It means something to you. See, a lot of parents, they give their children too much stuff. And then the children, they cannot value it as if they could if they earned it themselves. But see, salvation, Jesus paid for that. We can't know the cost he paid for our lives. That's why people don't value salvation. But if you take time to read the Old Testament and life under the law, you'll have a new appreciation for what Jesus did for us. And if you can see eternity, life in hell for eternity, you'll really appreciate what Jesus did for us. And you'll stop being half-hearted. It's all about love, folks. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. This broadcast is on the Audio 7 page in real time. And you can listen to it over and over again. And there's more than what we put on the radio. Okay, verse 4 says, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They were not half-hearted. They mean it. They love God. They're sincere. They have the love of God in them. They mean business. Elder Lewis said many years ago, he said this statement, I'll never forget it, even in eternity. He said, get down to business with God, and God will get down to business with you. Now, this is real prosperity preaching. You got to do your part, folks. You got to learn to honor him. Read the scriptures and you'll see what it cost Jesus to give you salvation. He was in the garden sweating. His sweat was like drops of blood. It cost him to save us. And see, those that are wholehearted, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. See, half-hearted people will turn around and hinder good, whole-hearted people. Now watch what happens. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, let us come with you. But he answered and said, verily I say it to you, I know you not. Watch therefore, For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and took straightway his journey. God wants us to do something with what he gives us. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same, made them other talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. See, there's going to be a reckoning, and that can work good or bad for you. There's going to be a reckoning. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's a good reckoning. He that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, deliverest thou unto me 2 talents? Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sowed, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou, that is thine. Thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knew that I reap where I sow not, neither gather where I am not straw. Therefore, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, this is the same parable, the parable of the talent and the parable of the ten virgins. It's the same situation. The people that are half-hearted will not serve God in a wholehearted way. And you can't serve God half-hearted. And the only reason people try to is because the leaven of the world is there, hindering them from being wholehearted in the first place. Now watch this. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And shall say, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? Now watch this. And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. See, they were sincere. They were faithful among those that they could be faithful to. They loved God's word. They gave God's counsel. They gave God wisdom. They shared God's knowledge. They helped people that couldn't help themselves. They were there doing the best they could with what they had to work with. And they weren't always fancy rich either. But they took time to help others in the name of the Lord. Like Mother McKinney, you know. She blessed people in prisons for years. Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Insincerity in them. That's why. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25 is no different than Jeremiah chapter 8. See, Jeremiah chapter 8, the people of old had done something. They made a choice. But see, they were buried as if they were righteous. And they were considered the people of God. The example of that Jeremiah is talking about here, how their bones would be dug up and left on the ground like waste, like dung, is to show people that these were evil people. Don't be confused. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be wicked. Don't be like them. This example was for the living. And it was prophesied centuries before it happened. And if I continue with this story, in the days of Josiah, you can read it in the Chronicles and in the Kings, 2 Kings. Josiah said, whose bones are these? Well, these are the men that prophesied that you would be doing this. He said, don't dig up their bones. Because they were righteous. You got to read this for yourself. Because God loves his people. And then, those that are wicked, God can't help them. God can't bless people that won't be blessed. Verse 4 says, moreover, thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented himself of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rushes into battle. They're desperately doing wickedness, and they're not repenting. Then he said in verse 7, yes, yea, even the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain he made it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. For some people, the Bible is in vain, because they won't read it and do it. They do the opposite. Why in the world do so many Christian people do the opposite? First Peter tell you how to live and how to secure a strong family life. It teaches the wife to honor her husband, and the husband to honor the wife, and the children to honor the parents. Why do they go and do the opposite? A friend of mine was telling me about, sometimes, you know, he does people's taxes and things like that. So he was saying a lot of men have wives, they actually make more money. Well, then, if they get in pride, they dishonor their husband. And sometimes because they make more money, the husband do what the wife say do. Well, guess what happens after that? Then the woman stop respecting him because she's not designed to be the husband. She's not designed to be the head of the house. She's designed to help him. And it's a good thing if she make more money than he do, but if you look at the order of God, a man is designed to be the man and the woman is designed to be the woman, and she's designed to help her husband. God made a help that was fit for Adam. See, when you stay in your lane, you're stronger, and the devil knows this. But he always used pride or fear or greed or lust to destroy. And when you get out of balance, you stay out of balance unless you do it God's way. Now, 1 Peter told us what to do and how to do it. And the key chapter is chapter 1. But see, you got to read it as a whole book. You got to read it with one being the foundation of every other chapter. Because if you live like Jesus, you'll have the success of Jesus. And see, it overcomes the world. It does. A marriage that's in order and full of the love of God See, everybody loves each other. But see, a proud person can't do that. A half-hearted person can't do it either. So Christians, instead of doing what they're supposed to do, what's biblical, they do something else. God told Adam, you can eat off every tree in this garden, but the tree in the midst of the garden, don't eat of it. The day you do, you should surely die. What did he do? He went and ate off of it. See, Satan lied to Eve, got her all amazed about the tree, and she was deceived, and she ate off of it. Then Adam ate off of it. Then their eyes were open. Then they went about hiding from God. See, if you listen to God in the first place, you won't end up with your bones dug up on the earth as waste. And you won't be, when the Lord come and take his people, you'll go with him. You won't stay there in your casket.